Welcome, everyone. This is a Board of Adjustment meeting for May 22nd, 2017. Could I have a roll call, please?
Clemens?
Here.
Falk?
Here.
Gallagher?
Here.
Spranger?
Here.
Bollinger?
Here. The Board of Adjustment is a five-member board appointed by the mayor. It is a responsibility of the board to interpret the zoning ordinances as they apply to special uses and variances. Each member has had an opportunity to view the site in question and usually comes prepared to vote on the issue at the meeting. We're going to, we need approval of the April 13th meeting first.
I make a motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Would you call the roll, Lisa?
Clemens?
Yay.
Falk?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Spranger?
Yes.
Bollinger?
Yes. We're going to go to case B before case A, so because there are some people here interested in that item. Case 17-041 at 4600 Amber Court. It's an R2 district. It's an appeal by the zoning administrator's decision to prohibit a home occupation submitted by Manissa Bigelow. Is there an affidavit of publication?
Yes, there is.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, board members, and everybody in the office, staff would like to thank you all for rearranging your schedule for tonight's specially scheduled meeting. The location is just south of the intersection of Pearl Creek Road and Amber Court. It involves the lot which is highlighted on the current display in yellow. To orient you, just off to this direction is Bettendorf Healthcare Facility. It involves a single-family home. This came to light when staff received a complaint that there was a business that maybe was being run out of this home. Staff had learned that the owner is a licensed mental health provider and does see patients at the home, usually on a one-on-one basis or perhaps even a couple at a time, usually one vehicle at a time, but indeed that they were seeing some patients at the home here. There was no home occupation license issued at the time, and at that time the zoning administrator looked into it and felt that this business most likely resembled a professional office, which is not an allowed home occupation in the R2 district. Definition of home occupation states that any activity, with the exception of a professional office in residence, conducted within the dwelling of in the dwelling or accessory structure, which is secondary and clearly incidental to the residential use, is allowed as a home occupation. But therein lies those words, why the zoning administrator felt that he was going to deny the use unless the board reviewed this and felt that it was an appropriate home occupation. Upon evaluating this, we evaluated all of the items that's listed prior to issuing a home occupation license. There are no commodities that are being sold out of the home. Several visits to this area by staff revealed that there are no disturbances as a result of this business. I can confirm what the homeowner has told me, that there usually is not more than one or two cars associated. I couldn't see any difference between parking on this street and the very next street, which is Winston Place. There are no exterior indications of the business, such as signs or other types of indications. As you can see before you, this is a fair and accurate representation of how the house looks from the street. Last week, I received several pictures that the initial complainant had taken of vehicles that were associated with this. Those pictures have been distributed to all of the board members. They have been placed in file appropriately. I'm not going to be displaying those this evening, but they have been placed in file, and I know you've all had a chance to observe those. I believe that kind of summarizes the case here. We have the person that is the homeowner here also has some representation here, as well as the zoning administrator, if there are any further questions about this. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request? If you would, go to the podium and state your name and address, please. Go to the...
You're going to go to the back of the bus, Mark.
My name is Mark Gellerman. I'm an attorney here in Bettendorf. I must admit that the last time I was in council chambers, I was appearing before Judge Norm Peterson on the first floor, so.
Wow.
That's been a while ago.
That dates the situation. First of all, let me thank you for your concern and interest in this matter, and appreciate all five of you being present to hear our concerns. This is a very interesting and I think somewhat complicated proposition before you. The started with an April 13th letter, which I think you have before you, and I address your attention to the final paragraph in the letter, maybe the second final paragraph, indicating that the city believes that a home occupation license must be issued in this matter. Our contention, I believe, is that one does not need to be issued in a fair and reasonable looking at your zoning ordinances. Call your attention to probably the simplest and first thing in the ordinance, which is the interpretation under 11-1-2. The ordinance is to be interpreted and applied the provisions of the ordinance, and they shall be held to a minimum requirement for the promotion of public health safety. Am I getting feedback? I'm sorry. And so that's the way the ordinance is directed to anybody who's interpreting it to be applying a minimum standard, not a conclusive standard. I think that's important when reviewing the issues before you. As John pointed out, the definition, and he is correct, of a home occupation is contained in the definition standard, indicating any non-domestic activity with the exception of a professional office in the residence. We believe that that terminology inside the definition cuts out a particular standard that does not apply to the rest of the ordinance. In essence, the ordinance does not deal with a professional office in a residence. The ordinance under your R2, which is what this is, specifically states out different things you can and cannot do when you have a home occupation or various other things that are permitted or not permitted. Nowhere in 11, 6B or 6A, 6B, C, D, and E does it refer to the specific exemption of a professional office. I think nobody will quibble that what my client does is a professional office, and I'll get into that in just a little bit. There is no reference in any of that to the home office designation that's been carved out of the home occupation example. And more specifically, it does not, under 11-6B-6, say that it is not a permitted use. Those specifically say what is not permitted in the ordinance, and in this case, it doesn't refer to anything. So what you have to do then is look farther or further into the ordinance, and when you do that, you find a definition of professional office. And that definition clearly states that a professional office is allowed and lays out 195 different professions that are allowed within that definitional standard. Now, I might note that that's applying a 1960 standard of the census. And of course, we've had now 50 years or five more censuses since then. And I went online just this afternoon to try and get an updated version of that list. And my guess is it was running somewhere in the 500 or 600 definitional aspects, and because they were separated all kinds of different ways. So I'm not real sure where this one came from, except that it says it was a memo from a February 11th, 1961 publication from the Department of Census. So, but anyway, within that standard, you've got a social and welfare workers as an accepted group, and therapists and healers. That's, if you want to look at that up, 193 and number 171. When you go further into the definitions, you find a definition for a professional office in a residence. So the code specifically has its own section directed to what a professional office is in a residence, which would cover both R1 and R2, because in either one of those, it doesn't refer to a professional office. So the only thing within the code is the definitional standard. And it's just a couple of sentences, but it's an office in a dwelling of a member or a recognized profession as defined by the 1970 Census Bureau census and report of population, which is referred to in that 195 list that we talked about before, provided that the professional service is performed by a member or members of the family occupying such dwelling, and one person not a resident of the premise. And this is kind of difficult here. It says, in rendering such service. I think they meant in receiving such service, but that's the way it was written. And provided that not more than 25% of the gross floor is devoted to the use, provided that there is no sign, and this is which is really important, no sign other than a nameplate attached to the building not exceeding 2 square feet in area is displayed. So not only does the definition of what is allowed, it also tells you what is not allowed and what cannot be happening within that residence. So it lays out the same parameters that the specific zoning R1 and R2 lay out as what is and what isn't allowed. So without any reference to anything else in the zoning, you are left whether this is a professional office in a residence, which if it is, and it conforms with the definition that's laid out, which it does, no home occupancy, no permit, nothing else is required in order to run that out of the home. There's really nothing else that we can say except that the zoning ordinance, as long as you are complying with the definition within the own ordinance, allows for anybody to have a professional home office if you're licensed, which in this case staff found they were. They are met the qualifications of the prior list of 192 different organizations, which my client does. She can operate her business, and the zoning ordinance has been complied with. Home one other note before I step down. The neighbor to the, is that the north, John? Yeah, that one right there on Crow Creek Road, I believe operates something called, had it right here in front of me. Do, 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 do. building grounds, cleaning, and maintenance service out of their home. They have a website, which I believe staff might be able to direct you to, and gives that address. And I would suggest to you that that is a home occupation, and those are the people who are complaining against my client's right to use the house as her professional office. And I think if you apply some standard, they probably should be treated differently. But that's, we're not here on that. Just wanted to draw your attention to that. Any questions for me?
Any questions from any of the members here? Seeing none, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to speak in favor of this request? Would you go to the podium and state your name and address, please?
Okay, thank you. Hello, thank you guys for all having us here today. My name is Jennifer Smith, and I have along with me my daughter, Sarah Reinders. I hope we both may be permitted to speak for a moment in your guys' presence. I am currently a Davenport resident. I live at 1209 Emerald Woods Court as a homeowner, and I'm here today on Mrs. Bigelow's behalf because my daughter has seen her under counsel, and I would like to just kind of give you an idea of who is entering the neighborhood here in Bettendorf. And I would also like to let you guys know, due to Ms. Bigelow's practice, I have come into Bettendorf a whole lot more and have enjoyed your guys' city. I have brought, you know, some shopping that direction. Me and my daughter are able to go out, so revenue is kind of nice. You know, having her location where it is allows us to come into town a lot more frequently than staying just in Davenport. We have been to her home location several times, and I can say when we do go, it's very professional. As far as, even though it is her home, her children are not present, and she had made it very aware to us prior to our appointments how to be respectful of her neighborhood to meet her needs, which was she'd like us to, you know, be there no more than 5 to 10 minutes prior to our appointment and stay within our car just for those duration of 5 minutes if we happen to get there early. In other words, she doesn't want us circling the blocks. She doesn't want us to be walking around the neighborhood. You know, be very respectful. So as far as the way it is set up for her occupation, it's not to where you walk in and you have a receptionist meeting you or anybody else. It is her herself, and she is always in proper attire. It's not like, you know, it's a home occupation and you come there and she's in her jammies or anything. She's very professional. And for us, it suited my daughter's needs. We had the option of facilities within Davenport, such as Vera French, and my daughter had selected Mrs. Bigelow for her needs because she felt that the setting was more appropriate. It felt more comfortable for her to be able to speak freely and to be open and honest, and she felt very safe. Do you want to let them know how you feel about the premise when you go in, and that may she speak with you guys? Is that okay? Thank you.
You can move that down if you'd like, ma'am.
Hello, my name is Sarah Reinders, and when I walk into Ms. Bigelow's house, I feel really comfortable with telling her, like, any problems I've had or anything, and letting her know that anything that's going on in my life, and I feel very comfortable. And I feel very comfortable with, like, telling her as much stuff as I need to.
Now, also, I want it to be known that as far as, like, when you talk about going into a professional office and something like that, you're considering you're going to see a woman behind a desk. That is not the way it is set up. It is set up more as a recreational type room. I mean, it's a very homely, comfortable setting. It's not, you know, that cold, drafty space where, you know, you got a fax machine in one corner and, you know, a big desk, and it's just her sitting behind it. It's very personal. And so I think allowing her to have her occupation within the home allows a lot of individuals to get the care and attention they need. So that way they can feel good about themselves and go back out into society. She is offering, you know, a lot of people an option for health care that maybe should be considered to be more of a standard. Maybe more people would seek out and get the help that is needed and stick with it if they were, had this option or even knew that it was available. But a lot of people may not know it's available because she doesn't have a sign in her front yard that states, everybody is welcome. Come and loiter. Come in, you know, walk-ins are welcome. So I think for the city, she is a value to you. And I would hope that you guys would really look at it as such. I thank you all for your time.
Thank you, ma'am, and young lady. Is there anyone else wishing to speak in favor of this request? Is there anyone here wishing to speak in opposition to this request? Seeing none, is there discussion among the board? I would like to say that it's a public street, and in my tenure in the city, we've had music lessons given in homes by private individuals, hairdressers. I know of acupuncture places in town, and there have been many without licenses for years, but there's a new rule around town. We need to have a license to open an office, I guess, so. Is there any discussion?
Well, I have a question for staff. Am I interpreting this correctly that the question isn't really about a license or a permit? The last question is about whether or not this should be permitted at all.
Yes, that's the $64,000 question.
That's
do
correct.
You feel that?
But that,
yes.
That's the question.
Sure.
That's the basis on which the decision was made at staff level.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. If you feel this is appropriate, you will make that decision.
We were given pictures submitted by, I guess, a complainant.
Yes.
That showed cars parked in front of this residence. Okay. And I guess a question I have for the applicant or for staff, have we ever had a complaint that there were like an excessive number of vehicles? Because it sounds to me like it would be difficult to have more than two vehicles parked in front of this house at any one time that were related to the activity.
There's been no complaints there. Filed with staff about anything like that in this area here.
So we haven't.
Prior to this.
We haven't created a safety hazard or we haven't really impinged on the quiet use of the neighbor's property.
I visited this probably going on 3 weeks now, multiple times a day. I didn't even want to say this. I live in this neighborhood. So I drove by multiple times a day, and I haven't seen anything more unusual on the parking on this street than mine right next to it.
And it makes sense that there are no regular, you know, excessive UPS deliveries or federal, I can't imagine what they would be, but so this doesn't create any excessive traffic in the neighborhood whatsoever. Because I'm trying to get to the...
She's admitting that people are coming.
The idea behind
the
it,
house, yes.
I guess I'm trying to get to the point of what is the point of the ordinance? What's the ordinance trying to control?
Mr. Chairman. I've always been the person that's determined whether home occupation permits can be issued or not. The main focus of that is it going to disturb the residential character of the neighborhood? So we have beauty shops that are allowed. We have, to Mr. Chairman's point, piano lessons, those types of things. Daycare. Up to six children can take place in a home. So those things are allowed by the ordinance. My opinion, that professional office was mentioned in the ordinance is to keep people from having chiropractic clinics in the home where you're going to book four or five people at a time, your dentist's office, your doctor's office, a massage therapist, those types of things. That tends to bring people that you schedule in on a regular type basis. So I think if you look at the intent of the ordinance, I think the letter of the ordinance probably says that this is a professional office, but if you look at the intent, I think the intent says that this is very low profile. It's not going to change the character of the neighborhood.
To that end, it seems to me that I agree with what Bill says, and maybe we should be, I know you have a lot of things to do on your plate, so throwing another one isn't probably the best thing in the world, but
I'll jot it down.
I think we should revisit our definition and how we're doing this. It seems to me that if you look at the purpose of the ordinance, or what I think the purpose of the ordinance is, this particular activity is minimal, very, very little, if any, invasiveness to the community, whereas some of the other things might be much more invasive. I know we permit, and I don't have anything against hairdressers, so when I say this, but don't be offended, but we do permit hairdressers on a regular basis. There tends to be more traffic than I believe that this lady's traffic is for her counseling. So it seems to me we need to balance that ordinance somehow. I do agree, maybe under the letter of the law, that this is a professional office, and it would be the same as if I were to conduct my office there and have secretaries and people like that. But I don't think that's what's going on, and I think that the purpose of this board is to make appropriate adjustments, and that this might be an appropriate adjustment. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Mary?
No.
Liz?
No, I'm good.
No? Any other discussion? Is there a motion on this item?
Well, I'll make a motion that we grant the request and overturn, or I guess support the appeal. This is the first time we've actually had something like this, so I'm having a hard time putting in legalese. Maybe Bob could help me with that.
I guess we're going to overturn the administrator's decision to deny the permit. I guess you're going to probably have to get a permit, but I think you qualify for that. So to get a permit to have a home occupation. So we would overturn the administrator's decision.
For the business that's requested there.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And then she would have to comply with the three paragraphs, but I don't think that's a problem. And then Bill would be the adjudicator of that to issue a license, I assume.
Yes, sir.
Is there, you made the motion?
I'll second it.
Oh, no, wait a minute. Dave? Oh.
Yes.
Oh, he amended it.
Oh, that's fine. I'll just explain it.
I think clarify.
Mary, you're going to second it?
I'll second that.
There's been a motion and a second. Would you call the roll?
Cummins?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Springer?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes. Case 17-041 at 4600 Amber Court has been approved. Case 17-037 at 3128 Mary Knoll Avenue. It's an R1 district. It's a request for a variance to reduce the required rear yard setback from 40 feet to 30 feet to allow construction of a 12 by 16 foot room addition submitted by Samson Construction. Is there an affidavit of publication?
Yes, there is, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John.
Mr. Chairman, this site is located just north of the intersection of Mary Noel Avenue and Cardinal Road, and it is an area just north of Field Psych Road, which is on the bottom of the current display. The applicant would like to add a room addition to the rear of the residence. You visited this issue in May of 2016. The board at that time denied a request for a 14-foot deep by 16-foot wide room addition in that exact same location. This is a revised request, and it is a smaller addition at this time. Instead of 14 by 16, which was 14 here, 16 here, they are now requesting a 12-by-16, which would leave a remainder of a 30-yard setback instead of the 40-foot required setback. Last year, in your deliberations amongst yourselves, the board noted that they felt that this intrusion into the rear yard was not typical of the rest of the neighborhood, that the backyards lined up almost parallel to the rear yard line, with the exception of the northernmost lot, where there is a larger setback. However, on that lot, you would have been able to do it without a variance. So the board felt that of the homes in this area, that they noted that it was rather uniform, and I believe that was part of your discussion. On the other side of the coin, the applicant points out to you that there is a very large 137,000 square foot outlot, which ensures that there is always going to be proper separation from any structure to the rear of this residence due to this large outlot. And the outlot does have a restriction on it that it cannot be built on. So it's the exact same request that you had a year ago. However, it's been revised down 2 feet to make it a 30-foot setback in the rear. I believe that summarizes the request, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Is anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request? Would you go to the podium, sir, and state your name and address, please?
Yes, I'm Joe Sampson from Sampson Construction, 4109 Rockingham Road, Davenport, Iowa. I'm the one that submitted the request for prospective clients of mine, Ed and Rebecca Lindsay, to be able to build a 12-by-16 sunroom on the back. And like John had said, the retention area in back is very deep. I mean, there's no visible obstruction to anyone in this area. I mean, the actual mow line of these neighbors is closer to 90 feet from their homes, just taking care of the outlot and keeping it looking nice there. It's difficult with them not knowing when they purchased the property within the last few years that, and I realize it's something that they could have looked into, but 40 foot is one of the higher setbacks in the city of Bettendorf, and to only be able to build 3 foot from the back of your house is not something that really occurs to someone, I guess, when they're purchasing a property. Mm-hmm. Any questions that I can answer?
The board have any questions for the gentleman? Seeing none, thank you, sir.
I'm sorry.
Is there anyone wishing to speak, anyone else wishing to speak in favor of this request? Is there anyone else wishing to speak in favor of this request? Seeing none, whoops, go ahead, ma'am.
My name is Rebecca, and I live at 3128 Mary Noel. And my husband is 85. He'd like to have the room so he's not sitting out in the sun with all the bugs. And it would be up in the height. It wouldn't be on ground level. We have talked to our neighbors. They have no objections. The neighbor on the left of us, his house lines up with ours, but that's the side of his house because he faces Cardinal Street. And when we moved there, all the other neighbors, they have big trees back there, and they have like their big garden boxes, huge garden boxes full. So you never would have thought, or were we inclined to ask, that it wasn't our yard. I mean, we mow it, we maintain it, and we have a beautiful home, and we would just like to enjoy it a little more through the summer months. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in opposition to this request? Seeing none, I know this had come up for us a year ago, and I know there's a building lot line of 40 feet to the back, John, but there, and I know there's other resident homes that along that line that have additions back to that line, but they're part of in the, that line, and does that line really mean that much that they can't put a building beyond that? But go ahead, Bill.
According to the zoning ordinance and the zoning district that this is in, it requires a 40-foot rear yard setback. I think that's to protect it. Adjoining property owners, you have a different situation here, and actually you've got a massive outlot that's a detention pond behind them, so
there's such a big outlot behind them, though. That's the open space. It'll never be built on.
Right.
What's the rear setback line in some of the newer additions that are going in? Are they all 40?
Well, if you're an R1, you're at 40. If you're an R2, you're going to be 25 foot. So there's a difference. A lot of the newer subdivisions that are being platted right now are going to the R2 because the 40-foot rear yard setback has become problematic for people.
And the outlot is considered unbuildable?
Right.
Yes. It's platted that way.
I'd just like to see someone get the best use of their home if it's possible. That's the whole thing, you know. So any discussion others with the board here?
Well, I think it's difficult to create a legal hardship. And my reason for saying that is that I don't want to be in a position whereby we start changing that 40-foot setback because we'd like to do it, as opposed to that being a legal hardship. My next thinking is that this is an unusual situation in the sense that there is setting behind this property, this outlot, which is not buildable. So the purpose of the 40-foot setback is somewhat obviated by the fact that there is this huge outlot area. I might be inclined to figure out a way to get this done if we could figure out a way to make this a one-shot deal, so to speak, for people, and so not for this particular piece of property, but it could include the other people on this particular block. But I don't think we don't want to be in a position whereby, without a hardship, we make an adjustment that's going to haunt us throughout the rest of the community.
I guess I would submit that under current development standards, many times that outlot will now embody a water element as well. And so if we do allow encroachment into the 40 foot around those water elements, if somebody picks this up and uses this as a precedent, you will have a great deal of gnashing of teeth probably down the road, because people will have the view of what they paid for obliterated. And that will happen in this neighborhood and adjacent neighborhoods. And it's probably what's going to happen because of the stormwater retention rules that we now operate under. I see it happening more and more all the time, especially in that part of Bettendorf. So you do run a precedent risk here. This may be one situation, but you do run a real precedent risk, I feel, based on what I know about what's happening in development.
Liz or Mary?
No, I have nothing else.
Okay. Any other discussion? Is there a motion?
I move that we deny the request as that there is not a legitimate hardship.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Call the roll, Lisa.
Clements?
No.
A yes vote is to deny.
Correct.
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Reiner?
Yes.
Gallagher?
No. Case 17-041 at 4600 Amber Drive. Oh, wait a minute, I'm the top one, excuse me, at Mary Knoll Avenue. Case 17-037, R1 District, has been denied. Case 17-042 at 1808 Sunset Drive. It's an R2 district. It's a request for a variance to reduce the required front yard setback from 25 feet to 5 feet for a 6-foot high fence along 18th Street, submitted by Jacob Swain and Alicia Lahari. Is there an affidavit of publication?
There is, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
The site is located at the northeast corner of Sunset Drive and 18th Street. To orient you, this is Mississippi Boulevard down on the bottom. Towards the top, you have Central Avenue, 18th Street running down alongside. The applicant would like to place a 6-foot high fence that would be adjacent to 18th Street, setback 5 feet off of the property line. Since 18th Street is a street frontage, we have to consider that to be a front yard setback. You'll be seeing in other graphics that I'll be displaying before you that there is some considerable landscaping adjacent to 18th Street that will be involved in this. And if allowed, that landscaping will be on the 18th Street side of the requested fence. Should probably explain what's going on the right of way in this area. This has been an issue staff has been dealing with for several years down here. South of Mississippi Boulevard and north of Central Avenue, 18th Street right of way is 65 foot wide and continues to go 65 feet wide as you go north of Central and continues to say 65 feet wide as you go south of Mississippi Boulevard. In this area, it just does some wild gyrations, and we've really never gotten a decent explanation of how it ended up this way. At its widest point, approximately in this area here, the right-of-way is 173 foot wide, and it is having that deviation from what is normally the standard width of 18th Street right-of-way is having an impact on this lot. So, even though it's only going to be a few feet behind what is considered the front property line, if allowed, the rear of this fence will be 42 feet away from the paved portion of 18th Street, and the front section of the fence will be 64 feet away from the paved portion of 18th Street. This is an R2 area. The normal setback is 25 feet for a front setback. So one could argue that it's meeting the intent of the ordinance, and it is the adverse impact of this right-of-way. If allowed, this is a decent graphic to illustrate that the fence from 18th Street probably won't even be visible. As I said, staff has been dealing with this right-of-way issue with various property owners. The church in this area, which also owns that, this church, Rivermont Collegiate, in an attempt to try to remedy this right-of-way situation. New city policy states that there is a set fee now for the number of square feet, and as you look at that, you can see that this involves lots of square feet, so it becomes just financially problematic. Nobody's going to bite and pick up these remnant pieces of property and pay several thousand dollars for them. So I believe that's the hardship that the applicant was pointing out to us and the reason for their request. I believe that summarizes the request, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, John. 18th Street was put in roughly in the late 40s or 50s, early 50s, and 17th Street was the main street that went up to Central Avenue. And there wasn't much up on top of the hill. So that's when it went through, and that's a lot of that excavation out of there was done by Charles Scorna, who had the hotel across the street. So
you know it all, Mr. Chairman.
Well, I've been around a long time, John. Anyway, there's an affidavit on that one.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, there is.
Anyway, is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of that this request? Is there anyone wishing to speak in opposition to this request? Seeing none, is there discussion among the members?
So am I correct in saying that the city would like them to buy this right-of-way back in order to divest ourselves?
I've been the one working on this for a few years to try to divest the city of these remnant properties. There's some very good reasons for us to try to get rid of it. We've got parking lots on here that in the wintertime people are walking on ice and snow that could fall. We have business signs that are located in there that's actually on city property that they've got there many years ago when it was just considered, oh, it's no big deal. But yes, we've been trying to work to get rid of these. I can tell you the past three contacts I've had with people in this area, they're not going to be able to pay these prices and they're not going to take it. Some of this, I can understand why they don't want to own. A lot of hill involved in it that might someday need work on it.
We allowed the other 6-foot fence just up on the corner.
Right.
This one right here.
Heath, yeah.
And it's the applicant pointed that out to me, Mr. Chairman.
It's a heavily traveled mm-hmm. street, too.
I think we have allowed 6-foot fences north of here on 18th Street as well, so I don't think that this would be setting any new precedent, so to speak.
This is not incongruous.
No.
So I'll make a motion to grant the variance from 25 down to 5 feet on case 17-042.
I'll second that.
Motion is a second. Would you call the roll?
Comments?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Springer?
Yes.
Yes. Case 17-042 at 1808 Sunset Drive in R2 District has been approved. Case 17-043 at 1407 Old Freeport Place in R1 District. It's a request for a variance to reduce the required rear yard setback from 40 feet to 25 feet to allow construction of 11-foot by 29-foot deck submitted by Scott Pearson. Is there an affidavit of publication?
There is, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
The site is highlighted in the yellow graphic, in the yellow highlight on the graphic being displayed. It is located at the southern terminus of Old Freeport Place, and it is on the east side of the cul-de-sac. This home since 1993 had a deck at the rear of the house. The entirety of the deck is within the required 40-foot rear setback. As a matter of fact, I think part of this house is actually in the 40-foot rear setback. The deck was built back in 1993, where records show that they did get the proper permits for it. Back in that time, decks were considered to be a allowed intrusion into the rear yard. We now consider them to be part of the main structure and therefore are subject to setback requirements. It's a different interpretation that we're making as to what represents the main structure. This is a graphic showing the deck that was previously there. And this is a graphic of showing that it's going to go back in the exact same place, almost exactly the same footprint. The previous deck existed for 23 years, and we know of no complaints that it caused any adverse impact to the neighborhood. However, the deck was taken down before they checked with us, so now it is no longer a conforming deck. So in order for them to put the exact same deck back, they would have to get a variance. I believe that summarizes the issue, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request?
Hello, and thank you for taking this consideration. My name is Scott Pearson, 6516 Woodland Court. I am the general contractor, and Pastor Peter Marty had asked us to come over there and check out his dilapidated deck that was built 23 years ago, of course. The footings themselves were not deep enough. The deck was heaving. There was a portion of the joists that were already dilapidated and had been replaced. The ledger board wasn't properly connected to the home, so it was letting moisture in behind the ledger board. So as a precaution and starting over and making this thing meet current codes, we did take it down, and we've jackhammered the existing footings out, and I've got an engineering for the new three post holes, let alone the beam and the rest of the connections for the 6x6s. Shouldn't have been passed, and it didn't meet any codes that are current as of now. Again, we're putting on new composite decking with a aluminum railing, so it'll last, you know, Pastor Marty, for another 30 years.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone wishing to speak in opposition to this request? Seeing none, is there discussion among the board?
Well, I think this is certainly distinguishable from the case we had earlier. The deck was already in existence. The intrusion and the rules were different back when this house was built. And I guess I don't feel that there's any reason we shouldn't approve this one.
I agree. I don't think we should punish the family for the contractor's timeliness of their permitting process.
Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion that we reduce the required rear yard setback from 40 to 25 feet to allow for the reconstruction of the deck.
Is there a second?
Second.
Been a motion and a second. Would you call the roll, Lisa?
Clements?
Yes.
Falk?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Springer?
Yes.
Yes. Case 17-043 at 1407 Old Freeport Place in R1 District has been approved. Case 17-044 at 6021 Emery Court in R1 District is a request for a variance to reduce the required rear yard setback from 30 feet to 25 feet to allow a portion of the deck to be constructed in a required front yard, submitted by Nick Wood. Is there an affidavit of publication?
Yes, there is, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
The site is located at the northeast corner of Emery Court and Hopewell Avenue. This site is immediately adjacent to the Hopewell School area. It involves the corner lot that is highlighted in yellow. The applicant would like to place a deck towards the south east corner of the structure, and in the about only remaining buildable area for this lot, and a small triangular portion will protrude into the required 30-foot setback, and the portion that would be protruding into that required setback is only that highlighted portion that is currently being displayed. These are the required setback lines, as in what you have here is a front yard setback on this side, a front yard setback on this side, a side yard setback on this side, and then a 40-foot rear yard setback on this side. So again, the chosen location for the deck is about the only buildable area left on this lot, and the design that the contractor is using is attempting to minimize, from staff's point of view, the amount of intrusion into that required setback. There is currently a deck, small deck, at this location here, and this would be a second deck on the house. That small deck is, nope, it's not visible there. Small deck is visible right here. The new deck location being right here. I believe that summarizes the request. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this request?
Good evening. My name is Nick Wood with Wood Home Renovations, and I'm here to answer any questions you might have with this request.
It's all in the buildable area. Any question from the board?
I can tell you that the purpose of this deck is so the homeowners can move their deck furniture up onto the deck. They have a four-person table, and if we attempt to make it smaller to stay inside the area, it becomes unusable for that purpose. We're trying to stay as small as we possibly can where it's still comfortable for the homeowners to be able to sit in the chairs and get up and walk around the tables without feeling like they're doing a lot of shuffling. Mm-hmm.
It's in an afternoon shaded area, too.
Yes.
North side or west side of the house. East side of the house, excuse me.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Somehow we run into the same problem of hardship, but...
Is there a deck right there now? Is that what that is on the?
There's a staircase coming off the covered porch right now, and we're going to be
tearing that staircase.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's small landing and a staircase, and we're going to be tearing that down and replacing that correctly. Currently, there's no mid support on that staircase that runs about 14 foot long, so it's one of those things that's just waiting for the right time to fall. So we're going to be repairing that in the process.
Very honestly, while I don't see there's no bright light here that points to a hardship, I also don't see the problem with potential, you know, establishing ongoing obligations.
Such a small encroachment.
It is such a small encroachment, and we've done it, you know, a number of times. I don't have any objection to it. It appears that the contractor has done everything they can to avoid any encroachment. But I guess to me, this is one of those times where it's case by case thing.
It is
not a not going to establish an obligation on us.
No, I don't see that either. I think it's going to benefit the home considerably.
Well, I'll make the motion then to allow the variance to reduce it from 30 to 25 feet on case 17-044.
I'll second.
And a motion and a second. Would you call the roll, Lisa?
Clements?
Yes.
Hulk?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Spranger?
Yes.
Folliger?
Yes. Case 17-044 at 6021 Emory Court in R1 District has been approved.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you, sir. Case 17-045, northwest of intersection of Forest Grove Drive and Middle Road, A1 District, proposed C7. A request for a variance to allow a parking driveway in a required front yard submitted by Missman Incorporated. Is there an affidavit of publication?
There is, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
From your recital of what this case is, actually it has changed since the time that it was initially brought into us. At first we thought we'd be bringing you a variance in which almost 100 parking spaces were going to be in the required front yard setback. That is no longer the case. We're now talking simply about a private driveway that is within the front yard setback. I'm sure all of you have heard about the new sports complex that is coming out to this intersection. It's being referred to as the Betplex. I want to orient you. I-80 is up in this area here. Middle Road is off on this area here. And directly to the south, that is Forest Grove Road. There will be 1, 2, 3, and 4 lots immediately adjacent and north to Forest Grove Road. Then there will be a public roadway that separates those four lots from the Betplex Center itself. What I'm going to be showing you next is that, and that will be the area of discussion and open for your review this evening. The yellow highlight represents a private driveway. I'm sorry. The yellow highlight represents the required setback. Because that is adjacent to what will be a new roadway, that is going to be considered the front setback in this location here. It requires 20 foot. Previously, all of that angle parking that you saw would have been in that setback. We worked extensively with the developers in this project and were able to work out an agreement where they were moving this area here is the public roadway. They moved that all south, and that in turn got all of those parking spaces, and as you can see, 100 of them that used to be in the front setback, they're no longer in the front setback. Now, one half of the median separating the public roadway from the private drive will be in it, and the private driveway will be in that required 20-foot setback only. To explain why this needs a variance, driveways are allowed in front setbacks, but they're normally they're supposed to be perpendicular to the setback and not parallel to the setback. So that's the only issue before you this evening. I believe that summarizes what the issue is here. Mr. Ryder has been working with the developers extensively. If there are any questions that my summary hasn't answered for you, I think between the two of us we can answer them. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John. Is there anyone here wishing to speak in favor of this? Seeing none, anyone for opposition? Seeing none. Jeff, would you like to speak to this in favor of this request?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think the only thing I would add to what John had said is our engineering staff and our ComDev staff saw an issue here and somewhat of a public safety issue. So what is being addressed tonight mitigates the issues that they saw and provides a better, safer situation at this site, and I believe that it is in the best interest of both the development and the city to consider the request before you this evening.
Thank you. Discussion among the board?
I think this is probably a warranted change. It's certainly a little different than some of the other things we've seen since the same owner owns all the property, and when he sells off those commercial pieces of property, they're going to know and be know exactly what they're looking at across the street, and they're going to be isn't going to be a surprise to anyone, and if that's something that the developer feels they can sell the property, that's his problem to sell it, but he can sell the property under those circumstances, I think that this is a good adjustment to make.
Anyone else?
I'll make a motion that we approve the request.
I'll second it.
Got a motion and a second. Would you call the roll, Lisa?
Hummel?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Spranger?
Yes.
Foster?
Yes. Case 17-045, northwest of the intersection of Forest Grove Drive and Middle Road, an A1 district, proposed C7 has been approved. Case 17-046, at 3627 and 3651, Devil's Glen Road, a C2 district. It's a request for a special use permit to allow a bar, a cocktail lounge, a tavern, or tavern, with an associated outdoor service area submitted by Andrew Dasko. Is there an affidavit of publication?
Yes, there is, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
This site is located just south of the southeast intersection of Tanglefoot Lane and Devil's Glen Road. It involves the site that is highlighted in yellow. As you'll recall, rather large storage unit area went up here several years ago, and it was always the design to have some commercial buildings finally come up in front of that and serve as a buffer between those storage units and Devil's Glen Road. At this time, the developer does have a commercial development that will be fulfilling that purpose if approved. This will be the structure is the one that's highlighted with associated parking around it. Storage units are back in this area here. This building will be divided into two separate businesses, about half building split in half. One of those will be a new microbrewery and an associated outdoor service area with that microbrewery. The outdoor service area is going to have a glass partition wall on the north side to provide buffering to any development that would occur to the north. Here is a closer look into the microbrew, where you can access that outdoor service area from both the first and mezzanine floors. And a closer look at how the glass wall partition will be to buffer anything from this business to anything that might develop to the north. In your staff report, staff did use the 9 points of evaluation for the special use. Staff is recommending approval of this. You might recall not too many months ago, you approved basically the exact same thing for a microbrewery on Falcon Avenue with an outdoor service area. We see this very similar as to what that request was. I believe that summarizes the request. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John. Will that glass wall be put right on the lot line, or will it be in somewhat from the lot line?
It's in from the lot line. There is a large easement area going down through here.
Okay.
That's pretty good. I don't know how he did that.
The lots to the north are all owned by Genesis.
Yes, they are. As you can see, this is a drainage way that goes down through here.
Okay.
And that's why it's going to be down in this area over here. So physically, it has to be separated a little bit because of that easement area up there.
Like we did with the business on 53rd or Falcon, we had them come back in a year to see if there are any complaints or so forth. And I think this would be advisable to do that with this business also, because there's residents across the street. They'd have to be in business at least a full year before we'd know what what the outcome of it would be.
I assume that you'd want that year after the certificate of occupancy has been issued?
Probably, or okay. It depends when it's issued. If it's issued in December or in September, they won't be outside for a full year. So,
sure.
You know, whenever.
We have done that with several of these types of businesses in the past.
Right. Mm-hmm. Is there any other discussion on this?
Well, a question I have is, I know that in one or two cases we have discussed hours of operation mm-hmm. for outside service areas. If we had, I don't recall the exact details of that, of those instances. Have we used fairly consistent hours of operation for outside serving?
And I know you did for Crust Pizza. I don't recall if you did the exact same thing for the one on Falcon. Lisa can is going to look up the decision and orders here.
That consistency.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah.
There was, you did an approval on an outdoor service area on what is now Caddy's, I believe at the time you did it. It was called Overtimes, mm-hmm. not too far from what this location is.
Right.
You put some outreach. Restrictive hours on that outdoor service area.
10:30 or 11, somewhere in there, wasn't it?
You made a certain time period between, I believe it was Sunday and through Thursday, and then allowed extended hours on Friday and Saturday. Lisa is looking up the decision in order on that to give you what those hours are.
Well, I think that we should be as consistent as we can.
I agree. That's why I asked the question.
Mm-hmm. And Caddy's, as you said, isn't that far away, and is not right across the street from residential area either.
There's no
more reason to do it here than
absolutely that. When there's residents involved.
Yep.
For the microbrewery, it was 10 p.m. no live music outside.
Okay. You have Crust?
How long ago was Crust?
Oh, gosh.
That was quite a while, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's been.
Oh, that's right.
A year.
Mm-hmm. Well, what was it? No live music after 10 p.m., or they have to stop serving outside after 10?
No live music.
Oh, they can serve.
With Crust, I do recall you had different hours for
weekend.
Yes, you did.
Because again, it was right across the street from
that's
residential.
Right. Right.
I think they should all conform to the same.
Yeah, at Crust, and then you said similar for.
Okay. So then probably that's what we ought to. I would think that's something we should impose on here, and I think the idea of a one-year checkup, because we did the same thing with the one over on Falcon, would make sense too.
That's for alcohol service. They can still have food outside, just not alcohol service.
Okay.
Alcohol to 10.
Food. Alcohol and noise till 10.
Alcohol and music till 10. Is that what you're suggesting?
To be consistent, I would.
That's if that's what's consistent.
That's what the other is. Yeah, we should be consistent.
I just have a quick question then. What about like Governors?
Well, Governor's is not in the middle of a residential area.
I know, but it's an outdoor venue.
Mm-hmm. There's no residents around it.
I think we
there's condos across, I mean, just across the way, behind the gas station. There's all of those Spear condos are right there. I'm just curious.
Did we put a time element on the exterior deck with service on
going south.
Kimberly that we just did out by DQ Nails? Was that
Treehouse?
Treehouse, yeah. Do we put any constraints on that? Because there's condos north of the treehouse.
All they came for was a deck. They didn't come for.
I don't think they got a special
seating.
Use.
The deck was already there. They came for an additional deck down below. There's no residents there either.
I thought that's what they were doing.
Well, there's a high-rise condominium building. Just south of that.
South of that, yeah.
I mean,
remember
but it would be within earshot. I'm just.
We did have extensive discussions. I remember even graphics showing what the separation for that was, but I don't recall that we did do anything on hours on that
I think
one.
We did. All about that. It's a deck, lower deck.
You have made some distinctions, like just down here at sports fans in a commercial area. I don't believe you put restrictions on when it was next to a residential, immediately adjacent to residential in particular, you put hours of restrictions on.
Yeah.
And this is right across the street from residential.
And the deck at the treehouse is, the building is a is between the deck and residential that's across the
parking lot.
It's multifamily.
There was discussion about that separation. I do recall that.
Well, I for one am comfortable with where we've been, had similar and direct access to residential and pursuing it that way. I also agree with the kind of the 1 year callback.
Sure.
To review it, just to make sure we're giving equal weight to the rights of the residents and the rights of the business person.
So am I correct in that we're saying 10 o'clock Monday, Sunday through Saturday, same time each day of the week with this, or did
the last one was 7 days a week?
Okay.
7 days of the week, yeah. That's easier to remember.
The older you get, anyway.
Especially for bar persons. Is there a motion on this item?
I will make the motion to allow the special use, or grant the special use permit to allow the bar cocktail lounge with the time frames that we've listed earlier.
And I want to make sure we understand that no alcohol or music after 10 p.m. at the outdoor service area. Is that what you have?
Apparently, that's what we did with Falcons.
Let me ask this question. When you say outdoor, the alcohol service, if they want to sit outside after 10 o'clock and still have a beverage, they can go in and purchase it and come outside and drink it? I think you're really limited.
I think the owner of Crust told you that people may be out there after hours still having pizza, but they do not allow them any longer to take drinks outside after the hours. This, I don't know if they're going to have food or not, so I can't.
Yeah.
I can't make that distinction.
They could quit serving at 10 o'clock, maybe.
Outside.
Outside.
Okay.
And are we also amending that to have the year review?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, have the year review too, John. Or after they've been in business for a reasonable time.
12 months of operation.
Yeah, at least they know what's going to happen.
We'll bring them back in a year.
Okay, I'll second that.
Been a motion and a second. Would you call the roll, Lisa?
Cummins?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Reinger?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Case 17-046 at 3627 and 3651 Devil's Glen Road, the C2 district has been approved. Thank you, John. Is there anything else for the board?
Thank you all again for rescheduling your schedules to make this this evening.
We are adjourned.